Hey everybody, it's Here's Me Podcast with Mike Petrullo. As you all know by now, we are reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And we are right at the end. This is going to be it. So just real quick before we get started, I want to thank you guys again for all the feedback, all the listens. It's really, really appreciated. It's been really motivating for me to try to get one of these out every day when people are telling me, you know, that they're getting on it. You know, I know we got a small following right now, but it doesn't going to slow us down or isn't going to slow us down. And Think and Grow Rich is the next one. If you guys want to look that up, Napoleon Hill should be starting it tomorrow. All things go according to plan. Got the book. So, all right, sweet. So going to kick it off here. We're on chapter 9. And, you know, as he says, lesson 9, but his cuz still want more. And here are some to do's. So this probably episode won't be super long, guys. He's got more like bullet points here. He goes in a little bit talking about some of his other books and stuff like that, which we'll probably touch on. But we're going to kind of keep it probably a little bit short. But yeah, anyway. And then don't forget, guys, that there's that cash flow game on richdad.com. It's free. It's pretty cool. I played it again today. Just kind of like, you know, it more or less gets you started with an average person's life and opportunities that could come to them and dipping into things like stocks and starting to get into real estate investment. And then eventually you're like a mogul. It's pretty cool. It's legit. It's not just a game. Cool. So here we are. Here are some to-dos. For those who want a to-do list of actions to tackle, here are some of the things Robert does in abbreviated form. First one, and then some of these are so punchy. Stop doing what you're doing. Take a break and assess what is working and what is not working. Look for new ideas. Go to bookstores and search for books on different and unique subjects. The book, The 16% Solution by Joel Moskowitz, taught Robert something new and spurred him to action. Find someone who has done what you want to do. Take them to lunch and ask them for tips and tricks of the trade. And this one, guys, I've already started applying in my life. If you already have somebody in your environment, let's call it, even if they're on the fringe right now, try to bring them in. You know, if you want to take them to lunch, that's cool. If you just got a couple minutes to pick their brain, the very least, even if you don't do exactly what they do it, you can start to understand their thinking and you're just going to gain another skill, right? Another perspective. Take classes, read, and attend seminars. Robert searches newspapers and the internet for new and interesting classes. And there's so much, I mean, that goes to YouTube too, but I think there is something about actually going and sitting in a seminar and, you know, making the effort to go and listen to somebody speak. I know there's probably not a lot of that going on right now, but, you know, get what you can now. And as things start to open up, look for those opportunities. Excuse me. So next one's make lots of offers. You don't know what the right price is until you have a second party who wants to deal. Most sellers ask too much. It is rare that a seller asks a price that is less than something is worth. It's fun and only a game. Make offers. Someone might say yes. And then there's a note in make offers with escape clauses. He makes I'll just go back to that one because I thought it was kind of cool in the main chapter. So he says, he goes, I always make offers with escape clauses. In real estate, I make an offer with language that details subject to contingencies, such as the approval of a business partner. Never specify who the business partner is. Most people don't know that my partner is my cat. If they accept the offer and I don't want the deal, I call home and speak to my cat. I make this ridiculous statement to illustrate how absurdly easy and simple the game is. So many people make things too difficult and take it too seriously. I like that. I like the cat idea too. It's kind of funny. Jog, walk, or drive a certain area once a month for 10 minutes. Robert has found some of his best real estate investments doing this. He will jog a certain neighborhood for a year and look for change. For there to be profit in a deal, there must be two elements, a bargain and change. There are lots of bargains, but it's change that turns a bargain into a profitable opportunity. It takes only a few minutes a month, and he does it while doing something else, like exercising or going to and from the store. And he makes a point to talk about, you know, ask people, pay attention to the local, what's coming in, you know, what business is starting to boom, what's the new, you know, what's the new things being put up, new houses, new, you know, places to shop, you know, malls, you know, attractions, stuff like that. And you can do this passively, guys. Like, you don't have to change that much of what you're already doing. I think that's one of the biggest takeaways from this whole book. is to start to look around you, what's already going on that maybe you before you weren't seeing. There's stuff everywhere. Shop for bargains in all markets. Consumers will always be poor. When the supermarket has a sale, say on toilet paper, the consumer runs in and stocks up. But when the housing or stock market has a sale, most often called a crash or correction, the same consumer often runs away from it. Remember, profits are made in the buying, not in the selling. That's probably one of the best sentences from this. Remember, profits are made in the buying, not in the selling. Buy low, right? And then eventually maybe you'll sell high. But yeah, buy low. Look in the right places. A neighbor bought a condominium for $100,000. Robert bought the identical condo next door for $50,000. He told Robert he was waiting for the price to go up. Robert told him that profit is made when you buy, not when you sell. He shopped with a real estate broker who owns no property of her own. Robert shopped at the foreclosure auction, having paid $500 for a class on how to do this. $500 saved him basically $50,000 in that scenario. His neighbor thought that the $500 for a real estate investment class was too expensive. He said he could not afford the money or the time, so he waits for the price to go up. So what does that already tell you, right? In this case, it's easy to see $500 turn into $50,000, but what it really is talking about here is information is everything, right? He said that before. Information. You find every way to get information that you can. Look for people who want to buy first, then look for someone who wants to sell. Buy the pie and cut it in pieces. Most people look for what they can afford, so they look too small. They buy only a piece of the pie, so they end up paying more for less. Small thinkers don't get the big breaks. If you want to get richer, think big. And obviously, a lot of these are talking about real estate, and some of us aren't really ready to swing that yet, but that's fine. I want to read you further into what that one was talking about, though. He says, a friend was looking for a certain piece of land. He had the money, but did not have the time. I found a large piece of land, larger than what my friend wanted to buy, tied it up with an option, called my friend, and he said he wanted a piece of it. So I sold the piece to him and then bought the land. I kept the remaining land as mine for free. Moral of the story, buy the pie and cut it in pieces. Most people look for what they can afford, so they look too small. They buy only a piece of the pie, so they end up paying more for less. Small thinkers don't get the big breaks. If you want to get richer, think big. Like that. So that ties right into think big. Retailers love giving volume discounts simply because most business people love big spenders. Even if you're small, you can band together with others to negotiate for a great deal because you want to buy so many of a certain object. Small people remain small because they think small, act alone, or don't act at all. In his example for this one, he was talking about he had a business that needed some computers. It wasn't a huge business. And he grabbed some of his colleagues, other people that had stores, and was like, hey, I want to upgrade my computers. What do you guys think on going in on a big set of computers and getting a bulk discount? And they did. Learn from history. All the big companies on the stock exchange started out as small companies. Colonel Sanders did not get rich until after he lost everything in his 60s. Bill Gates was one of the richest men in the world before he was 30. So there you go. Action always beats inaction. You must take action before you can receive the financial rewards. Act now. So that was kind of his last bit there. It was a short lesson, a short chapter. And then we have a section called his final thoughts here. A little bit of it talks about his other book, which would be next, which would be Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant. So if you guys want to get on that, eventually I'm for sure going to get back to getting into it. There's a bunch of books, it looks like. Rich Dad's Guide to Investing. And I'm sure these are all very, prominent books. We're just going to kind of jump around. We're not going to just stay on Robert Kiyosaki, but we will definitely be back to him. This has been, I would say, life-changing book for me already. It's now just time for us to apply it, right? So I'll probably read through just the summary here. It's not super big. And then I'll just kind of give my final thoughts myself on the whole book, the book as a whole. So, let's go. The main reason Robert wrote this book was to share insights into how increased financial intelligence can be used to solve many of life's common problems. He shares an example of how a friend, worried about being able to save enough money for his children's college education, was able to turn an initial $7,900 down payment in a house in Phoenix into a project a few years later that generates $3,000 a month in income. He took just a little money to start and in financial intelligence. Education and wisdom about money are important. Start early. Buy a book, go to a seminar, practice, start small. It's what's in your head that determines what's in your hands. Ooh, that's a good one. It's what's in your head that determines what's in your hands. Money is only an idea. In the world of accounting, there are three kinds of income: ordinary earned, portfolio, and passive. Passive income, in most cases, is income derived from real estate investments. Portfolio income is income derived from paper assets, such as stocks and bonds. Taxes are highest on earned income and lowest on passive. As Rich Dad would say, the government taxes the income you work hard for more than the income your money works hard for. In Robert's second book, Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant, he explains the four different types of people who make up the world of business: E, employee; S, self-employed; B, business owner; and I, investor, and how people can change their quadrant. In Rich Dad's Guide to Investing, book number 3 in the Rich Dad series, Robert goes into more detail on the importance of converting earned income into passive and portfolio income. So yeah, I mean, obviously these are kind of plugs, but I definitely would get in on these books. Like I said, if you guys really want to just go on to number 2, Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant, we won't be doing that on the podcast, but I will eventually get to it. Robert and Kim's board games continue this education as well, teaching what books cannot. The Cash Flow Game for Adults and Cash Flow for Kids games are designed to teach players the basic investment skills of converting earned income into passive and portfolio income. They also teach the principles of accounting and financial literacy. And I really do think if you guys haven't by now, get on there and play that Cash Flow Game. It's pretty cool. Like I said, I just plugged it at the beginning of the show. Richdad.com is super easy to find from there. In fact, I might even include it in the details this time. But a really cool little game. It's going to teach you a lot. And I guess there's a Cash Flow for Kids on there too, for you parents out there. I haven't taken a look at that. I'm sure it's very similar. It's probably just a little bit, you know, more simplified. But, get them on it now, right? Get them on it now. There's no reason not to. Especially right now is a good time to be getting into stocks, guys. We all know this by now. You're watching that stock market climb back up. Hopefully some of you have gotten going. I know. Anyway. Cashflow 202 is the advanced version of Cashflow 101, teaching the principles of technical investing. Technical investing involves advanced trading techniques such as short selling, call options, put options, and straddles. A person who understands these advanced techniques is able to make money when the market goes up as well as when the market goes down. Knowing the difference in the three incomes and learning the investment skills of how to acquire the different incomes is basic education for anyone who strives to acquire great wealth and achieve financial freedom. A special kind of freedom that only a few will ever know. All of you were given two great gifts, your mind and your time. It is up to you to do what you please with both. Let me reread that. All of you were given two great gifts, your mind and your time. It is up to you to do what you please with both. I like that. With each dollar bill that enters your hand, you and only you have the power to determine your destiny. Every day with every dollar, you decide to be rich, poor, or middle class. Choose to share this knowledge with your children, and you choose to prepare them for the world that awaits. I love that. And I'd expand on that and say, you know, your friends, your loved ones, your neighbors, if they'll listen. I love this book, guys. I think it was really cool. Really cool, like just to kind of open up your mind a little bit more. And delve into some of his ideas. I think it was paced really well. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Hopefully my breakdown for you guys was something you enjoyed. So my biggest, again, takeaway, what the rich teach your kids about money, the poor and middle class do not. I know, like, he talked about his one, what was his idea? I can't remember now. It was something super punchy about how, you know, education is killing you or something, whatever his one idea was. But, he's got kind of punchy titles, and that's cool. I mean, but to dig a little deeper into it, it's true. A lot of his thinking, of course, is about teaching his kids and what he was taught from his dad, Rich Dad and Poor Dad, right? You can learn from both. And that's the biggest thing. I look around now, guys, and everybody around me, coworkers, friends, family, and I really can learn from everyone. Some of them I actually want to sit down and literally learn from, like, hey, how did you do this? Where did you start? What are you looking into doing now? And some of them I kind of look more like anecdotally of like, okay, well, here's how they got into this situation. These are things you want to avoid. Just like our do nots list and our do not wants and our must haves list. how quickly I don't want to become like this. Well, the flip side of that is I want to become this. So say it's like someone's, you know, broke and poor, or struggling, you know, check to check, you know, and, you know, you can say, don't want to be that. But what really comes from it is I want to be independent. I want to be financially free. And for me, I mean, this book has really inspired me to make a lot of sacrifices as far as things I've been wasting money on. And I can tell you already, guys, money's starting to open up, you know, starting to get into stocks. Stash is one of the things I've been doing. And it feels good. It feels good to have a little bit more control rather than just like cycling through the work week, you know, waiting for the next bill to come. So, you know, do your best on that. I know some of you are going to have to make a major change. Some of you are probably ahead of me. Some of you are right where I'm at, and everybody, you've been great. I can't tell you how much my heart is filled by the people that have written out to me and enjoyed these, and I hope you'll continue to listen. So yeah, I appreciate you guys all. Again, I know this is a super short one, but there's just not much else to touch here. If anybody has any, you know, things they want to say, anything that they loved or they didn't like, they want to see more of, awesome. Again, we're going to start Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. I haven't really even cracked it yet. Honestly, I've been reading mostly this and working my work week. So I'm excited to get into it too. And again, tomorrow I'll have another show for you there. So much love, everybody. Appreciate you guys. And again, this is Here's Me Podcast with the final episode of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I'm Mike Petrullo. You guys stay healthy and happy. Bye.